Good morning. I'm going to be reading the Bible in Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. I'll be reading from the NIV. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms, in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
Hallelujah. find our life in him. We have so much to celebrate today. 2,000 years ago, the crowds welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem, shouting, Hosanna! God's salvation is here. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And today, we echo their cries. We long for Jesus to come again and reign forever.
Lord of heaven,
says, the greatest demonstration of love in history was on that cross that day. In while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We couldn't see how desperate we were for the love of God, but God loved us anyway. We were oblivious to our need for grace, but God gave it anyway.
A simple man, a carpenter with healing in his hands. They saw him calm the sea and heal a dying man. They saw, but could they really understand?
Last thing to
Praise God. Nothing could keep Jesus in the grave that day. The central event of all human history had taken place, and everyone knew it. The guards at the tomb knew it. The disciples knew it. And soon the whole world would know. Jesus is alive forevermore.
Follow me here, while the earth stood still. The tomb must have seemed like the end of a dream
for those watching him hang on the cross, and everything that he promised them just turned into loss.
But on the third day the stone was rolled away. The only thing left to find was an empty place. He said the victory was won. He had the keys all the time to death, hell, and the grave. When the stone rolled away,
now the only remains of death and its chains
are the memories of the way that it was before our Savior rose again to give the victory to us. Hard to believe, you can never rise up out of your fear. You just remember that empty tomb and dry your desperate tears. 'Cause on the third day the stone was rolled away. The only thing left to find was an empty place. He said the victory was won. He had the keys all the time to death, hell, and the grave. Stone rolled away. Cause on the third day the stone was rolled away. The only thing left to find was an empty place. He said the victory was mine. He had the keys all the time to death, hell, and the grave. But on the third day the stone was rolled.
Yeah.
Jesus is crowned with glory now. He has earned his rightful place as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Is there a more glorious moment in history than the moment when Satan's forces retreated, sin and death were defeated, and God's redemption plan completed? Oh, what grace and what glory!
Garden plea, blood-stained sweat, agony. Father's will, son's demise, cedar stain on sinless life. Love flowing down. Love flowing down. This was grace in all its glory. This was God. This was holy. His blood poured out. His body broken for me. This was grace. All its glory. Nail-pierced hands, wounded side, a crown of thorns, forsaken cry. Sun, angry crowd, numbered breaths, silent now. Love flowing down. Love flowing down. This was great. This was God, this was holy, his blood poured out, his body broken for me. This was grace in all its glory. He loved us so much that he wanted to give the sacrifice. So stirring, so beautiful, so glorious. This was grace in all its glory. This was God. This was holy. His blood poured out. His body broken for me. This was grace in all its glory. Oh, this was grace in all its glory. This was God. This was holy. His blood poured out. His body broken for me. This was grace in all its glory. This was grace in all its glory.
Grace that is greater than all.
The glory of God is its greatness, its vastness, its ability to cover any and all sin. Jesus died, and our sin died with him. Now Jesus lives, and we live forever with him. What an exchange! What a transaction! So, as we celebrate Jesus' resurrection, let us thank God for raising us to live with him forever.
All across the sky. This morning what we've heard is the story of grace through song. We've heard the gospel given to us in the form of some speaking and some music. And this morning I just want to talk about that a little bit. And as I do that, I'll just mention, this was originally Gene's actually part in it, but he got sick. So as we talk about grace, may you extend grace to me as I do this. See what I did there? The passage that we read from was Ephesians chapter 2. And it's such an encouraging passage. Because I think that none of us here are ever really free from sin. In the sense that we're all going to struggle with it while we're here on this earth. Whether you have given your life to Christ or you haven't, we're going to have that with us. But it's important to remember where we came from, because we can know that that's not where we are now. We're in a different spot now. And this is what it reads. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. And the power of sin is a real power. I mean, it's there. We know that. There's a struggle from the time that Adam and Eve ate of that fruit, that humanity has always struggled with the power of sin. And if you're here today and you haven't experienced the grace of Jesus Christ, maybe you don't even actually realize what an effect sin is having on your own life. But it's there, and each of us, I believe in this room, can attest to that fact. But we can also attest to this. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much, that even though we were all dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace that we have been saved. And friends, it's so important to stress to this world, it's only by grace that we're saved. If you're here in this room and you're not really sure what this whole Christianity thing is about, the truth is that there's a lot of misconceptions about Christianity. I was talking to one of my friends, Chris, and I mean, one of the things that he thought was, you guys are, like, you want to be good people, right? Like, that's how you please God, is just by being, like, good people. And, I mean, that's the message that the world believes about us. But the encouraging and the real, true, powerful message is that's not what the gospel is. The gospel teaches that Christ came because of grace. It wasn't because of anything that we have earned, but it's by grace that we're saved, so God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. And the gospel in a nutshell. Friends, do we believe that there is power in the gospel? Do we? As a church, do we function as if there's power in the gospel? Now, I don't think there's... maybe I'll just speak my mind on this. This is pertinent to... We have a building committee coming up. Building meeting. I don't think there's anything wrong with a church having a building. I mean, we have a building right now, and it's a pretty good building. And as we talk about building, it's important that we don't get ourselves in a mode where we think that the building is what gives us the power, or the ministries are what gives us the power, or the people. It can be easy to form a church and a vision around even a single leader, a single individual. And that's wrong. It's really about the power of the gospel. And God illustrates that to us over and over again. And I want to read just a couple passages here. Acts chapter 8 and 9. But Saul was ravaging the church, and entering house after house, he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. And later on, but Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, that is the Christians, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And what we have here, the person that we just read about named Saul, this is a real person who was violently persecuting real people. And it says here he was breathing threats and murder. Breathing murder. This is a man who's filled with hate towards these Christians. I mean, sometimes we can like do things where we pacify the Bible a little bit and we rough off its edges. Saul wouldn't have been smiling as he's going around just like saying, "Hey, Christians, come with me to jail." It wasn't like that. If you look at what's happening right now in the Middle East, that's the culture that they had. That kind of violence is what Saul was like. But this man we now know as the Apostle Paul, and this is what he writes about himself. "The grace of our Lord," in 1 Timothy, "overflowed with me for the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the chief of sinners, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who are to believe in him for eternal life." And this is what he says to the Galatians. "You heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and I tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age. So extremely zealous was I for the tradition of my fathers." But then he goes on and he says this: "The ones who were in Christ, they didn't know who I was. But all they would hear is, 'He who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy, and they glorified God because of me.'" And the power of the gospel was shown so incredibly in Paul's life. And it's shown to non-Christians and Christians alike, because the non-Christians could look at that. People who haven't received the grace of God, we can look at that and we can say, "You know what, I've done a lot of horrible things. I can't tell you how many kids I've counseled at camp that have said, 'God just can't forgive me because you don't know what I've done. Because you look at me and you think that I'm just happy playing games here in this cabin or in this camp, but you don't know the hate that's in my life, the violence that's in my life, the anger that's in my life, the lust that's in my life, whatever it is." And we hear that so much that there's this guilt. They feel that God couldn't forgive that. But if God can forgive this murderer, this person who's really persecuting other people, he can forgive anybody here in this room. And the message to the church is this: the power in the gospel wasn't that it would take Rome by storm and that as Saul was persecuting them, they would have power to fight back. It wasn't like that. It wasn't that they would reform the entire society, but this was the power of the gospel, that as lives were transformed, that the person that was persecuting the church, the person that was trying to see it destroyed, was the person that was now building it up completely. And the transformative power of the gospel comes when we don't tell people to shape up and then come to us. The power of the gospel is not, you know, the stereotypical things: don't drink, don't smoke, don't swear. These are things that, honestly, the world, a lot of people in the world still think is the gospel message. That's the furthest from it. And so, friends, I just encourage you today, is there power in the gospel? Because if there is, this Easter season, as we're talking to our friends and family, let's share that. You know, let's share our faith, because if we believe that there's power in our faith, and if we believe that it's God who's doing the work, then it's not on us anymore. You know, you might be the least qualified. You might be the least qualified in terms of academic skill. You might also be the least qualified in terms of moral failure. But did you go around persecuting people? I don't think so. Did you go around killing people? No. And that Apostle Paul, like, he brought incredible amounts of people to Christ. And so, friends, we can do that too. So I just encourage us to have courage and thank you. Thank God for the grace that he gives us every single day. Let our entire lives be just an overflowing of gratitude for him. I'm just going to close in prayers before we sing our closing hymn. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the grace that you've given us. And God, I thank you so much that you demonstrated who you are through the life of Saul. And may we, Lord, as we look at that, look at the power in the gospel. Look at the power of the grace that you give us, and may we run with that power, Father. May we take that to the world and show them who you are. And Lord, so we ask that you would use us to transform this community around us. God, let lives be transformed within these walls and outside these walls. And may you have the glory for all of these things. In Jesus' name, amen.